Well, grace and mercy be yours, I pray, in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus, the Holy Christ of God. Amen. So we're winding down. We're coming to the end of another church year. The church year doesn't quite line up with the regular calendar year. It gets close. It wanders, I think there's a span of about 10 days. I forget if it's the 26th or the 28th, the November 26th or 8th. It's the Sunday closest to that. Ends up being the beginning of the new church year. So it wanders a little bit. But this year, the first day of the new church year is December 1, that Sunday. And as we wind down to the end of the church year, our focus changes. Right? Remember, everything was green up here for a long time, right? All the pyramids, all the colors that you see up here, they were green for a long time. Green is the symbol for life, and in the church it's life in Christ, life in the Holy Spirit, life anticipating Jesus' second return. As we approach the end of that church year, not only is it life in Christ, but it's in that eager anticipation. We start focusing on that day that picture up there represents, when Jesus is coming again. Not like he did the first time. Not like we'll talk about through Advent and Christmas. Not a humble little baby born in a barn to people completely impoverished. People who are completely without any funds. He's not coming like that when he comes back. He's coming with power and might. He will come on the last day, on Judgment Day, with all of the wonder and the splendor that is due the author of life. The angels will accompany him, and like a mighty army, they will go out over the whole earth and gather the faithful to Jesus. There will be trumpet blasts that will shake the skies and crack the earth. There will be shouts of glory and songs as seraphim sing his praises. Judgment Day. We are always taught that's a scary day. But for the faithful, it's not a scary day. It's a day of wonder and joy and celebration. So as we enter this time in the church year where we focus on the coming last day, we remember all those who have left this earth in faith ahead of us. You see, they've already seen much of what is for us something yet to come. They have seen the face of God. They have heard him say, "Welcome home." And their souls now wait for the last day, when their bodies will be raised up, made perfect, and joined with their souls again. We confess it every time we speak the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body. That will be a day when they will once again be fully human, perfect, as God first made us. They wait. In fact, they wait the same as we wait, with one profound exception. We wait in a place where sin still gets us. Sin still affects us. And they are free of that effect. And they're free of it forever. They're free, and for that, we give glory to God because we know God's word is true. God's promises are trustworthy. We know that for all those faithful whom we love, they are with him now, resting and waiting. They died. We don't like to think about that. Death is something we don't like to get near. We like to think, and honestly, sometimes I think about some of the things that I say, you know, life is terminal and that sort of thing, right? We think of death as being just a natural course of life. But it's not. Death has never been natural. It is not part of life or part of living. It is not what God designed, nor is it what is supposed to happen. You see, death is the result of our separation from God. That's why death is always painful. Death is the curse for sin. If you sin, you die. That has always been the rule. And with that rule in mind, Satan took great joy in bringing death to you. You see, he used us, all of us. He used you. He used you to hurt God. Satan attacked us because he knew we were weak. He knew we couldn't resist his power. And he was right. You can't. You can't. He is far more powerful than you could ever imagine. Even the archangel Michael would not take him on alone, but always called on the name of God to do that. Lucifer was perhaps the most powerful created being that God had made. His name, we keep changing languages often in the church, and so sometimes we lose track of it. Lucifer means the one who carries the light, or something along the lines of the son of the dawn. So majestic, so powerful, so magnificent was he that to look at him was like looking at a sunrise. His authority so great, he commanded a third of heaven. And when he fell, he took a third of heaven with him. And you. The beautiful, magnificent creature has become the most vile and disgusting. He is the very epitome of filth. And now he has names like Satan, the Hebrew word that means the accuser. Isn't that what he does? I know what you did. You know what you did. God won't forgive you for that. People won't forgive you for that. The accuser and the devil, the corrupter, that is the beast that attacks you and drags you down to the pit with him. And he is too great and too powerful to fight. And his only goal is to come for you. His only goal is to destroy us. Because he wants to break the heart of God. Satan knows the rules. Sin must bring death. Satan knows the rules. Only those who are perfect can stand before the throne of God. Satan knew God would not, God could not love something imperfect. And imperfect is what he made you. Here's what he didn't understand. The depth of God's love. Lucifer may have been the most beautiful, powerful, and majestic thing God had created, but by no means the most important. You are. You are the most important thing God has created. God loves the lowest person far more that he has ever concerned himself with Satan. Because of that love, God could not endure being separated from you forever. But the law is clear. Sin brings death. And there could be no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. To account for all that sin, the sin of the whole world, perfect blood needs to be shed. Who here can step up and fill that role? None of us could. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the perfection that God commands and demands. But God could not endure the thought of being separated from you, his child, forever. That is, in fact, why he promised to fix the mess. That's exactly what he promised he would do. And he did it almost within the instant that sin entered the world. You go back to Genesis chapter 3 in your Bible, it's probably on like page 2 or 3. You don't have to get very far. And you get to that point in chapter 3, right at the beginning, where Adam and Eve sin. They ate that fruit. Now, they weren't supposed to eat the fruit, but that doesn't seem like the most egregious of all sins. The point is, eating that fruit was the temptation was to get rid of God. to become God yourself. You can be like God. You will know good and evil like God. You can get rid of God. That's the sin. The same sin Lucifer was tempted to do, right? To usurp God. And sin has entered the world. Adam and Eve are now eternally dead to God in that instant. And God comes down and pronounces his judgment on Satan, and in the same sentence gives them a promise that one will come. One will come, and Satan, you'll bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. He will destroy all that you have made, all that you have done, all that you have built. And with that promise comes comfort to Adam and Eve. They knew there was still hope. They were not dead to God eternally. In fact, you can see they thought it was coming and coming soon. You go to chapter 4, look at the very first few verses of chapter 4, and Cain is born. And they say, we have received the man from the Lord. They thought Cain was the one who was going to get him back into the garden. Can you imagine their hearts when he turns out to be the first murderer? The effect of sin was still on them, on Adam and Eve. The fear had subsided. They knew there was still hope, and they believed in that hope, but for Satan, the fear had only begun. The thrill of victory over destroying God's most loved was dashed on the rocks, in particular the rock that the builders rejected. Satan's failure is complete. Not only was he forever cast out of heaven, not only would he be cast into the torments of hell for eternity, but he is going to have to live for eternity with the knowledge that he has failed. He has failed because God promised to wash away all sin. God promised to restore us and all people to that perfection he demands and commands, where we could not do anything to get ourselves back to God. God could, and God did do everything for us and did it perfectly. For all who believe, salvation is true. So that brings us to here, to this day and this place. Today in this holy house, we celebrate a day called All Saints' Day. It's a day when we give glory to God for all those who have passed through death into life eternal in faith. We give praise and glory and adoration to God because we know that even though we miss them here deeply, even though we have wept for them, we know that we will not be separated from them forever. We will see the faithful again. The day will come when we will once again enjoy the pleasure of their company in a place where sin will never, ever touch us again. In a new heaven, in a new earth, where the relationship that Adam and Eve had before Genesis 3 is restored to all of us. When God walks among us. In the book of Revelation, we read these words. It says that there was a large crowd from every nation, tribe, people, and language. No one was able to count how many people there were. They were standing in front of the throne and the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands and crying out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." So who are those folks? We kind of see some of this and we think it's those folks. It's you. You're in the crowd. You're part of it. You're part of it because of faith in Jesus Christ. Why are we holding palm branches? Palm branches in ancient Israel was the flag of their nation. It was the sign of freedom. It was the sign of strength. And they're wearing white robes. We will be wearing white robes because God has made us pure and perfect in his sight. We see that that day, this last day, is the great, there you have the great, this great multitude standing before the throne of God. Can you imagine that? To actually stand in the presence of Almighty God. How are you going to do that? You know you better than I know you. You know how messed up you are. I know how messed up I can be, right? How? What gives us the right to stand in that place? This alone. Because God the Father, through Jesus Christ his Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has made you clean. He sustains us through faith in that wonderful cleansing flood. That flood of love that starts right there in holy baptism. That flood of love that is poured out from Jesus' body on that Friday we call good. It comes to us in this holy supper we will enjoy in just a few minutes. That flood of love that pours out on every person who believes by God every day. It's that flood of love that those we love who have left us now realize fully, basking in the glory of Almighty God, remembering how God saved those faithful that have left the earth. We should use them as examples. Now, those of you who know some of those who have left us this year, you know they weren't perfect. And we wouldn't want to emulate the imperfect part of them, but they remained faithful. And they remained faithful to the end. They believed. And because they believed, they are perfect right now, waiting for you to join them. Not in sorrow because you're still here or sorrow because you're not there, but more like children anticipate Christmas Day with the eager anticipation of, you won't believe how awesome it is when you get here. Wait till you see the gifts. You see, that is the wonder of the Christian faith that God has given to us. It will restore us. It will restore our relationship between us and God. It will also restore the relationships between us and those we love. Those who on this day we remember with love. Missing them? Absolutely. But still knowing that our goodbyes are not forever. By God's holy grace and mercy, we will see them again and there live forever, free from sin. Amen.